All right, who's going to kick us off?
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I don't have a lot to contribute. I just seem to be mired down and not making any progress here. I just went back and did some more sorting around trying to figure out.
Unmired.
Okay.
What step are you at? What are you working on?
Well, I'm still on three. I want to know what the zip codes I'm going to be using are before I go advertising for bird dogs. And that's been a sticking point. I haven't been able to decide because I'm not sure with the system that we've used. I mean, I know where the zip codes are in the area because I blocked them out for the MSA. But I don't know what activity there has been in those zip codes. I guess that's the piece I'm having the trouble with.
So two options. You can get absentee owner list, see if an agent can pull it. And you'd have to talk to local agents there and see if they can actually pull that list out of the MLS system.
Okay.
We're not MLS experts by any stretch. Or you can go to ListSource.
And you can
buy a list there. Try property managers for that absentee owner list. They're all licensed anyway.
Okay. All right.
Or you may get somebody new to pull it for you to figure it out. But those are the two options. And that way, when you take that, you can either take that list to batchgeo.com, or we've been talking the last few office hours on you can take it to Google Maps.
Yeah. Okay.
And map it out for free, but then you're going to see where the activity is. So the city will either look like a shotgun hit it, and there will be activity everywhere, or there will be very clearly defined pockets of absentee owner activity. And so, Mike, you've got to get that here in the next 24 hours, one or the other, because once you have that mapped, there will be no question. So in the meantime, post your ad on Craigslist, start talking to bird dogs, get that, because as soon as you have that list and map it, it'll be obvious where to send them.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
Those two things. Post your ad and get a hold of that list either from a local agent or buy it from listsource.com.
Okay. And the product that comes from MatchGeo has the zip codes already defined and outlined?
All MatchGeo do is going to map your property. So let's say you...
Okay, let me intercede on that, man.
Go ahead.
Mike, I found the best zip code boundary marker link, and I can send it to you right now, actually.
Oh, great.
So you can share it with everybody. It maps out. You enter the zip code, maps it out in red, and it's really cool. So,
okay. My email is mriley1997@aol.com, and thank you.
What?
What?
Well, let me just send it to Mike, and he can send it out to everybody.
Yeah, John will send it to me, Mike, and then I'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Be good.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, man, it works good. It's a lot of the others come up with a bunch of ads and everything. This one, I think, is put out, looks like, by the Postal Service. I don't know, but it works out pretty good. So.
Okie doke. That's great. Thank you.
So two things, Mike. And that list that you're going to grab, it's the same list in ListSource that you pull in step one, the absentee owner list. What you do in step one when you're filling out the PRA spreadsheet, you don't actually buy the list. You just get the number to run the data. So all you do now is click purchase list at the bottom of the screen. Or
go to
a property manager.
All right.
And see if they'll print it from the MLS for you over the last 12 months. 6 to 12
Got
months.
It.
Whatever they'll do.
Okay. I'm on it. Thank you. Appreciate
it.
Try to get this done today. Thanks a lot.
Yep. All right, Hal, you're up because I spoke to you earlier.
Oh,
I know you have a few.
Yeah, I just
questions.
I just wanted to say one thing. I looked at this list that you opened up for me, and I put in a zip code, one of my favorite ones, and there were 1,042. Vacant property. Now,
is that all?
At first, I got real excited, and then I got disappointed, and now I figured it out. The first 400 or 500 of them were purchases this year, and I thought, you know, because it's got a sale date in there, and they're accurate because I cross-checked some of them with the K county and all of that. But
yep.
after about 550 on, they're all old. And they're
cool.
This ought to be a tremendous, in fact, I don't even think I'm going to have my gals take any more pictures of vacant houses. I think I'll go with this. Because I've got hundreds.
Yeah, here's the thing about
you're
that.
You're going to miss some of them.
Other folks can access that list too. I mean, it's data you can buy. It's obviously plugged into FreedomSoft now. You will still, having a bird dog in the field, putting eyes, will there be some crossover? Yes, but your people on the ground will pick up deals that the Postal Service isn't aware of either yet or just doesn't have on their radar. So
That's true.
Your bird dog will still, the level of lead overall will still be better than than a service like that. So
really?
Yep.
All right then, well, we ain't paying for it.
All right then.
All right.
So Hal, what I think you had a couple of questions, right?
No, actually I figured it out and
okay.
It's
it was
tremendous.
Just on the data.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. If you want, use it alongside. But you know, like I said, if we can access that data, I mean it's cool. We're all for it. Obviously tying it into FreedomSoft. If we can access it, other people can too. And the bird dog is just something that nobody does.
Really?
Nobody does it. So again, that level of lead will be, or, you know, like I said, in general, you'll pull some deals out of there that other people aren't.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. You're right.
Yep. But in addition to, absolutely.
Hey, Mike, this is Alex.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, I finally got a bird dog, which is a good thing for me today. But I got a question about FreedomSoft. I logged into it, and I looked under market.
Okay.
And I was looking for that abandoned homes thing, and I didn't see it, at least on my
Yeah, it should be. It should say vacant houses, the second option down on the marketing tab.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If you don't see it,
I was just on there. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, shoot me a note into the coaching email, and I'll look at it for you in the morning.
Okay. All right.
Be there,
let
though.
Me.
Yep.
Yeah, I could open it up right now just to take a look, at least on my account. Kind of slow. If anybody else has a question, I'll go ahead. And I'll break.
Yeah,
in
let me know.
I...
Let me know here in a few minutes.
Okay.
Perfect. Who else? Questions and updates. John, I know you're on. What happened last couple of days here in Nolan?
Hey, Nola. Well, the one hot lead that I got from that supposed bird dog guy that was hot to trot, the number he gave us for the lady that owns the house is not a good number, so... You know, I've skip traced about 30 numbers, and they're all not leading anywhere yet. But outside of that, I still haven't gotten additional bird dogs, but the one I have is very active. I have so far 50 leads, and he's out working now.
Yeah.
And I've gotten about 20 of those skip traced, and my girls started making calls today. So.
I love it.
So,
yeah,
works, I think.
If you have a hungry bird dog, you don't need four.
Yeah, everybody else, man, you know, make a time to call, and they're not a, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But this dude is he's one I've got. We finally got the home snap, man. It's not working right, even with an iPhone, dude. It's not sending a photo in.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't tried it in a while, so I'll try it again.
Try it again. This guy, what he's doing is, first I had to, it's taken a couple of days to get him situated, but, you know, he's wanting to take all the pictures and send them all at one time and then send a Dropbox file. And I said, no, man, send it as you take it.
Yep, one at a time. Let's just get this on the record. If you can't figure out Home Snap or you don't care to, the one thing that HomeSnap does that's pretty handy that we've mentioned before is if your bird dog pulls up to a vacant house and there are no house numbers or there are house numbers missing, it'll help them identify the address, right? But
right.
If the address is on the house or the mailbox, they don't have to use HomeSnap. Have them take a picture, then go into their phone, email that picture one at a time, right? Don't take 30 pictures and 30 addresses and email it, or all of that is going to be parked in one lead in FreedomSoft. So
right.
what you have them do is they're going to take that photo, put the address in the subject line, and email that photo into the unique email address tied to your campaign. And you don't have to use HomeSnap.
Right.
Like I said, HomeSnap will help with some addresses if they're missing, which is fairly common on vacant
right.
houses, right? They're clearly being neglected. There's got to be another app out there that'll help you find an address, I would assume.
Yeah, it's Driving for Dollars app, but it's $8 a month, $7.99 a month. So.
Yeah, still.
It's pretty cool though. It's
$8 a month that's no brainer.
You can't send the photo, but it does store the photo in your account, and you can always go look at it. So, but it has an advantage where, it says Podio to email app, but you just put the FreedomSoft email in there and it works. So
perfect.
And it builds an Excel file that you can download and mail. If you wanted to, outside of
right.
you can get that when you load it in the freezer file.
You can, yeah.
Anyway, so we got the system down now after last night me going, it was crazy. It took me 2 hours to park up 24
leads. That's for me.
So anyway, today he's taking them one at a time, and in addition to that, he's sending a Dropbox file so I can attach the photos. So, which is not too bad. It's okay. It works.
Yep.
And,
is your gal making calls in New Orleans yet?
Yeah, she started today. That's what I was saying.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yes, sir. And cool. We've got this guy is a wannabe film producer.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he's attracted to real estate, and I guess he's wanting me to hook him up with some rehabbers so he can drum up some business with them and help them promote their business. So rehabbers or developers or whoever. So
yeah, interesting.
I don't know. It sounds kind of interesting, doesn't it? But he said that he was talking. This is just a little tidbit, and this is kind of good news. He said he was talking to a friend, and he told him what he was doing, and he said, "That's crazy." He said, "Yeah, man, but the guy does what he says, man. I take the pictures and send them in, and he's paying me the same day."
That's awesome. Hey, here's the thing. If you have a bird dog that you're working with and you need a second or a third, start there. That's the easiest thing. Say, "Hey, I'm not trying to take money out of your pocket, but do you have a friend or family member who could go drive for me when you can't?" Right?
Yeah. Well, the thing about this market that I'm noticing is that, he said he's going to try to get 50 today, but he's only sending 12. I don't know. Sometimes they delay getting sent in through HomeSnap,
right.
But he said after today he'll finish. This is a one zip code.
Okay.
So he's been working on it just 2 hours a day for 3 days. So, I mean, there are so many more like this down there, man. It's just crazy. And,
yeah, what's nuts is some of them are sold in Denver, but I looked up Denver through FreedomSoft with that vacant house, and there are over 2,000 in this market, which is
really
one of the hottest in the country, right? We're still number one this days on market in the nation. And, there are a couple thousand. Now, like what Hal was saying, some of those have sold, right, and they still show up, but still – I thought it would pull 10. So you go to a market, like the ones that you all are working in, there are just boatloads of vacant houses, right? Sometimes the questions come, the question comes up, well, what if we run out? I mean, you could, but it's probably a ways down the road. So,
yeah, I think so.
Can you all the spot?
Well, good stuff, John. Somebody was asking me the other day about the recipe for $100,000 a month, right? And that's a killer number. $1.2 million a year coming in. Here's what it looks like. I don't know if Darren's on, but they're knocking down the door of 10 deals under contract, moving them to their buyers list.
Wow.
Do that in 3 markets. Have kind of a running, like a low hum in the business of 30 properties that you're moving. That sounds crazy, but it's not.
Yeah, 10 per market, roughly.
10 per market, yep. Not all of them will close. But if you have a constant stream of 30, it's likely to think that you can move 20 of them. And on the low end, you're making $5,000 a piece, right? Kind of a nice, not super aggressive wholesale fee. 20 times 5 is your 100. So, you know, you just engineer things backwards. And it sounds like this number that's way out there. But, I mean, you all know how to open up markets. Once you do it once, you can do it, you know, 1 other market, 4 other markets, 5. It's the same recipe.
Yeah.
And then get your salespeople with, you know, here's the goal. We got to have 10 contracts on the table per market. Whether you have 1 salesperson, 2, 3, whatever. And then you get efficient on the back end of it, you know, and it's not, you know, you don't go there in, obviously in a couple weeks, but could you go there over the next 6 to 12 months? Of course.
So yeah, I got another one picked out already, man.
Yeah, that's it. And John, for you to launch it, it's another 48 hours to what? 7 days, 10 days tops if you have trouble landing a bird dog and getting somebody that'll take you serious. And you've got
it's been 10 days that I've been working on this. Once I finally started working on it. Yeah.
So you're inside of 2 weeks for sure. If you can carve out some dedicated time, I mean, you can get them up and running inside of a business week for sure. You know, we talk about going slow up front to go fast. The reason we go through the process, you know, and we're a little more deliberate on market number one is so you can learn the recipe. And then that way, once you see how it comes together, because it's not super complicated, there are a couple moving pieces, a little bit of technology, a little bit of data. But once you see it come together once, for you to now replicate that is a very quick process. So, you know, that's the thing is, you know, where do you want to take it? Revisit the goal. And it just becomes a function of, you know, can we have 10 deals under contract in multiple markets? And the answer is clearly yes.
Yeah.
So that's how.
Oh, yeah, man, I got a long way to go, but I think I'm going to get there. I just got to get this sorted out and concentrate.
That's the thing.
I'm going to start doing the same thing here with a bird dog in my market, too, because I haven't been, you know, I did all mine myself initially.
Right. Get that outsourced and put the system in place. So you've got somebody else. Leads are still coming in. You don't have to wake up tomorrow and think about it.
Right.
Now you've got leads in 2 places. I mean, the best thing that can happen right now, John, is for you to have way more leads than your 1 salesperson can handle, and to get somebody else on the phone. And that's how it just starts to scale up is, and you know, actually you're, you know, up front, obviously you know, you're the driving force here. You all are running your businesses, but push on it for like 90 days. And then you're not generating leads on a daily basis. You're not making phone calls on a daily basis. You're not talking to buyers on a daily basis. You're overseeing the whole thing, and that's the goal. So you said it's a long way off, and, you know, kind of our theme lately is it feels that way, but things can happen fast. So momentum's a unique deal. You know, you get it moving, and it can ramp up quicker than a lot of times we anticipate. So anyway,
excited about it, man. If I could find this one owner, this one house. You know, but anyway, we'll find them.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give it tomorrow, and if we can't get them tomorrow, I'm going to fire off a letter just for that one, you know.
Yep.
The lady quit claiming it to her deadbeat sons, and her deadbeat son will probably get a letter from me here in the next day or two. So.
Can't you look them up on deadbeatsons.com or no?
No.
Super well,
man,
you
don't believe the numbers we tried.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet.
So, try
hey,
to
I've heard.
But,
I've heard from the boss that the having the owner of record data in FreedomSoft with the address is a couple days away. So I know we're Thursday evening. I don't know if it goes in tomorrow or if it rolls into Monday, but we should be really close for you all not having to have your skip tracers go to county records or to public records to look up the owner of record for the address. So it should be close.
And it'll pull the mailing address.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
Should be close.
What about transaction data? That's not available, is it?
What do you mean?
On a property.
Like title history?
Yeah.
Where I don't believe we're pulling that. We're just pulling owner of record. So you'd have to go to county record for that. For chain of title, you mean?
Yeah. Transfer history.
Is that live now, Mike? The owner data?
No. Rob told me 24 to 48 hours away this morning. So that's what I was
shoot,
saying.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll be ready tomorrow, if it'll roll through the weekend or be Monday, because we're Thursday evening. So, but next couple days it should be there.
I see.
From what I've
well,
been,
we
oh,
got,
you
got an
print.
Email about that.
You got a what?
That was the Postal Service vacance, I think.
Vacant house data. Yeah, the owner of record is coming next. Hey, the other thing that's coming too is phone tracking. So how many calls were made, duration of calls, who made them, that kind of thing. So if you have a team calling through FreedomSoft on your numbers, you'll be able to track all that, figure out who's doing what. So just from a CEO level management point of view. That should
yeah,
be
man,
as well.
I don't like the bitch, but the phone system, man, it should show when somebody, remember that question I had the other day?
Yeah.
About.
Here's the thing. It's all stored. We're just not displaying it. All the data is captured. We're just going to start displaying it. So, yeah, FreedomSoft was pretty weak in the area of managing your account. And so there's going to be some focus placed on that, right? We got the features that we wanted, right? Still more coming, but, you know, completely revamped it from that standpoint. And now...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of improvements, huge improvements.
If you notice the other day, when you click the home screen in there, you can now search for tasks by date, by person on your team, by property, that kind of thing. So you can peek, you know, real quick as to what's going on, what tasks are due, which ones are today, which ones are coming, that kind of thing. So some more CEO level functionality is going to start rolling into place.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, that works.
Yep.
Man, what do you think about that issue that I had, man? Is that weird? Is nobody else has had the issue?
Yeah, with Click-to-Mail?
Yeah.
Who knows? And as far as I forgot to ask Rob, but, I mean, they send out letters on a weekly basis, and I haven't heard anything that it's not working. And you have the exact same format.
I was looking at it, man, and the letter, the variable, those numbers in brackets were different. And I said, well, if the letter's coming out right and the email template has different numbers in the brackets, then we need to change the numbers. So, and that's what we did. And
now it's all put together?
It's working. Yeah.
Who knows?
That's really, really, really weird. So
it is.
I'm sure Rob and I aren't the only ones using the letters. Are we?
No. I will. I need to make a note to ask him about that.
Maybe I did something with my. I don't know what. Maybe I did something with my account and it's not working. I don't know.
Yeah, hard
maybe
to
say. Maybe I set it up wrong.
Just blame it on Click-to-Mail because it's a government agency.
Hey, but that guy was pretty. He's pretty cool, though. So.
Yeah, I think it was just a matter
of your business.
Getting the right help person on the phone. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. We have a we have a good relationship with our mail house, but I took down his info, so we'll see.
Right.
See what happens.
Cool.
Yep. Yep.
Hey,
well,
Mike, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex. Yeah.
I was on FreedomSoft, and I didn't see it under my marketing tab. The abandoned
okay.
houses stuff.
Interesting. So yeah, I know the guys have been rolling out that feature to the different. You all should be on the same level of plan though. So Alex, shoot me an email to the coaching email real quick and just remind me.
Okay.
And I'll look it up tomorrow and I'll get to the bottom of it for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I need. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're
Bye.
Welcome. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Tom.
Hey. Tom, what's happening?
I just got back from an awesome backpack with my daughter, so
How
I
was
haven't
it?
Really done any. It was fantastic. It rained a lot, but she was a
yeah.
trooper.
Cool.
Yeah. Hit 28 miles, 12,000-foot passes. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you back for a while
now?
Are you
yeah.
finding something again
yeah.
soon?
Oh, well, nothing for more than a day or two.
You'll be proud of me. I climbed this 14 set of stairs the other day.
All right. Wait,
and
no
ropes,
all in one go?
No crampons, nothing.
All in one go? Did you do an all
yeah.
in one go?
Yeah, well, about stair 7 or 8, I paused for 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves, and then I kept
go.
Going.
So I got in touch with these two guys. About
yeah.
three properties. I don't know what happened
yep.
with the other property because I just got back. And but we had so I sent him with the whole thing with Hello Sign. And
yep.
the first guy in California, he signed it no problem. The other guy, he said he didn't get it and couldn't find it. And I didn't bring my computer, so I was an hour away, about ready to go into the mountains and call them just to see because I hadn't heard from them. And
yeah.
he said he hadn't gotten it. So I tried to walk my wife through how to – I was trying to find the original one to see if I could resend it. And by doing that, we pretty much sent a whole nother set. So I kind of screwed everything up. Nonetheless, I called the guy in California, and he said he would print one off and send it to
okay.
his friend and have him
– I thought you had power of attorney. So why do you need both signatures?
He has the power of the guy in
Pennsylvania. The California guy, right? Okay.
No, the guy in Pennsylvania has power of attorney for all of them.
Right.
And he's the guy who's screwing it up. So,
gotcha.
It's like every time
okay,
I get to this point.
I thought it was the other way around. Okay.
Yeah, no, it should be because the other guy in California is an investor and really knows what he's doing. This other guy is not so much. And it seems like every time I get to this point in the process, things go haywire. So I'm not sure where we're sitting because I haven't called them today. And I haven't really looked through all my emails, but it's all cattywampus. But I know they want to sign it, so.
Get both of them on the phone and say, here's the thing. You guys are remote. Here, what's the easiest way? Just make it as easy as possible on them. If you have to just email it or send it to a local FedEx office. Or
right.
whatever the case,
might,
but yeah,
might,
have a little
yeah, and it might already be done because the last thing I did is I called a guy in California and he says, yeah, I'll get the one with you and me signing it and I'll print it off and send it to him, and email it to him and he can print it off and sign it and email it back to me and then I'll email it to you. Well, I haven't checked my email, so it may
right.
be done, so but I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully it is. If not. Have a little meeting of the minds there and figure that sucker out.
Right.
If you're using email and HelloSign, you ought to be able to do it with all of you on the phone because it's so fast.
Right.
Especially HelloSign.
Yeah.
A little tougher to print, sign, scan, right? But if it's HelloSign,
right.
then you should be good. So
we'll see. But so now I got to find buyers, and that's been,
In that same conversation, when those are tied up, figure out access. And then you're going to go all out with getting buyers into those places.
Well, I got to find some buyers. It's not even, I need to get access, but I need to get a
Facebook group.
List.
Right. You've got to start combing through that thing.
Yeah.
And everybody who says, you can even start talking to them tonight. I mean, you can start reading through the comments. If they seem legit at all, mm-hmm. like they're buying, shoot them a private message, introduce yourself, and say, hey, I have three coming. Do you have capital? You know, you can ask somebody, do you have any money to spend? Or I like to word it, do you have any capital that needs to be placed in the next 30 to 45 days? And it's a little bit easier way to ask. What you want to know is, do they have any money to spend? But it's a little more right. professional way to ask it. That way, whatever yeah. you want to say. But introduce yourself, you know, out-of-state investor, new to town, looks like you're active, you know, throw them a little compliment. Looks like you're making it happen here in Pittsburgh. I've got three deals that I'm about to have tied up. You know, do you have capital that needs to be placed? If so, let's connect, you know, try and get them on the phone and just start asking, hey, you know, the typical buyer questions. You know, where do you buy? What are you looking for?
Right.
That kind of thing. So that if these three deals fit, you can call them back.
Right, and if
yeah,
they don't fit, that's
up.
At least that's where I start looking next.
There has to be 20 legitimate people in a group of 4,500. There has to be.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's way yeah. more than that, but.
I have one person that the first person I'm going to call because she was sort of saying, you know, if you have something, let me know. So that's obviously the first person I'm going to talk to. And I have a guy in there, and he – in fact, he just sent me in a text today saying, hey, are you ramping up? Are you active now? You know, because I said I'm kind of in a holding pattern. And he's the guy who took photos of the other houses and put the lockbox on it and everything else. So I need
right.
to have a conversation with the two investors first and say, how do you want to have us have access, and then figure out that. But I want him to go
yeah, and
take photos.
Yeah, and even better than that. Even better than that, and putting the ball in their court, say, and if you need to script this out, that's fine, but say, now let's talk about access. Here's what we typically do is I've got a guy there in town. We've got a lockbox. We go and put it on, throw the keys in there. Obviously, we'll give you two the code. Does that work for you? And that way, instead of letting them drive and dictate what's going to happen, you just come out with, you know, your best-case scenario and say, here's what we typically work. Are you guys good with that?
Yeah.
And see what they say.
Be, yeah, and I know they'll say, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so. Usually not an issue, but a little. It's just a little more streamlined to word it that way instead of throwing
yeah.
them a, you know, letting them make the suggestion, because then if they say, if you could just get people in there on Thursday evenings from 6 to 6:02, you know, now you're hosed.
Right,
so.
Right. The other thing I found, one of the houses that I thought was big enough to be a 4-2 is actually just a 2-2, so it's not a
okay.
good deal by any means. And I said, is there any place you could put a third bedroom? And the guy was saying, no, I don't think so, but I'm not real
what's
sure the experience level.
Yeah.
11,
what's
so
square
it's 1022 square feet.
Yeah, that's a little, that's borderline. Sometimes you can squeeze a third in if you're at that 1,000.
Yeah. The way it's situated now that I look at it, it's two
yeah.
the bedrooms are upstairs, probably not. So
yeah,
you might be able to get something down in the basement, but he was saying no, the basement's no good because it's on a pretty steep hill. So you might be able to, but
yeah,
I have to see it first, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not as interesting for a lot of people. So we'll see how that plays out.
What is a little 2-2 right in that zip code rent for?
About 800.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Pretty solid,
I mean,
little rent for
well,
a 2-2.
Well, it might be 650. I don't know.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, and it's in that range depending on the finish. So
that's not terrible. I mean, I know you're getting it for cheap, so.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I don't know how much work. I don't know how much work's on the inside, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good stuff. Yeah, get those signatures. Sounds like they're motivated, so, which is good.
And I'll find out about the other thing. The other thing's a try, and that is the killer thing because it's a big brick building that
mm-hmm.
needs a lot of work, but it's mm-hmm. three bedroom apartments. It's three
triplex.
One, three, three, one, three, 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 one.
Three, one. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could condoize those later when that area starts to pop.
How big are they? How big is each unit?
I don't have that info. I could get it, but it's big. I mean, they're pretty big. It doesn't
look
like
you probably like add another bedroom or half bath big.
Don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, they're pretty big, but
cool.
I mean, that may be gone. Yeah, they showed everybody.
That's how it works. And then, Tom, you've got to get, I know with your work schedule, inconsistent on the phone, you've got to find somebody to hit these phones for you daily, even if they're part-time, you guys.
What?
You have leads that aren't being called, get somebody on the phone, and you'll be in the middle of two more every week, three more,
well,
four more. Oh, this buyer has another one. This buyer has two more. And it just starts to snowball.
Yeah, I need to get some buyers. Once I get some buyers, like I know the zip codes to hit the data and stuff like that.
Turn it on. Oh. It'll force you to find buyers.
Yeah.
So turn on more leads and get somebody on the phone to work them. Just force the issue. It's everybody's thought to say, and I'm right here with you, right? But this is why we talk this stuff through, to say, I'm going to get this in place, and then I'll get this in place. No, just turn it all on and let it go. And then you'll say, holy crap, I have 8 deals. I'm going to find some buyers tomorrow one way or another, and you'll force the behavior. And that's where you want it to get to. Because that's the thing, is it doesn't take much for it really to start taking off. So get somebody on the phone. While you're doing all this other stuff, I want you to post a quick salesperson job ad. It doesn't have to be spectacular, but you've got great leads, paying a strong commission on big ticket items. You'll be able to recruit some talent from the sales end of things. Then, if you know you have a salesperson, you're not going to let them down. You're going to have leads show up. So it's going to force you to get focused and turn on some leads, which is perfect. That's going to get you focused to turn on some buyers, which is perfect. And the next thing you know, you're, you know, a couple weeks down the road, and instead of saying, I still need a salesperson, you're in the middle of contracts. So those are your next steps. Just turn it on.
Okay.
It's a little scary, but do it anyway.
It's way scary. You have all these contracts and no buyers. It's like, holy crap. Right?
It is.
You
yep.
know?
A great.
I mean, I don't want to let these guys down.
You won't. I don't want to give it back
to them. They'll be all mad at me, and that won't
you
feel
won't.
Good.
You won't. I get it, man. Everybody's head says the same thing yours just did. You won't. And we're going to help you through it. We have other people on here that are working in Pittsburgh. They're finding buyers. They're going to help you through it, and we're going to figure it out. So turn it on. And move faster than you're comfortable with. That's what the program's here for. Force the issue. So
that's good advice. That's how I've always done everything else, is just say, screw it, I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do
it,
but I'll do it anyway.
And that's where you're at. That's where you're at. Just force the issue, turn it on, make it happen, it'll figure itself out. You're intelligent. We're intelligent. We'll put our heads together and we'll find a solution.
Cool.
Make it into existence.
That's it. And it's that apprehension right before, right? This is, I mean, you all are going through the process. Step one, we do some research on cities, piece cake. Step two, we talk about some deal evaluation, piece cake. Step three, a little uncomfortable, hire a bird dog, get some leads coming in the door, piece cake. And then we start getting into talking to buyers, making offers, and that's where the hurdle comes in, the first real hurdle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to blow through it. Because, Tom, once you blow through it once, it's no longer an issue, right? Like me climbing the stuff you climb, big deal. Never done it. But if you could take me up one, I would look back and say, wow, that wasn't as scary as I thought it was. And actually, it was really cool. And look at this view. And you only have to push through these things one time. So blow through it once, the sooner the better, and it doesn't hinder you any longer. So just, right, that's what I'm saying. Those are your steps. Post an ad, get these deals under contract. It'll force you to find buyers. It'll force you to generate more leads. Blow through it, push through the barrier one time. You'll look back and say, that wasn't as big a deal as I'd made it out to be. And it won't, you won't trip over it again.
Yep, cool.
Okay.
Just,
who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Mark.
Mark, what's happening?
Well, I just got back from camping, too, and I got rained on a lot myself.
Did you?
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my lawn said so, too, here.
How did your salesperson do while you were camping?
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to get another salesperson on along with her because she thought that she could be able to make calls during the week, but it's not working out, so it's just on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I need more than that. Yeah, I need more than that. But I haven't talked to her since I got back. I just got back yesterday afternoon late. But she left me an email, and one of the questions was, it's like, how do I get these people motivated? It's like, well, I don't know if you can get them motivated, but maybe she's not asking the right questions or something and talking to them and getting rapport with them.
Could be, yeah. Some of them you don't have to get motivated. They are motivated. That's
right,
what you're trying to
find out.
Do they need is the vacant house a problem, yes or no? If yes, how big? How bad is it? Push on that a little bit. But, Mark, here's the bigger issue is if she can only call on weekends, here's the thing. If she still wants to, have her sniff out motivation and get it to your full-time salesperson that you have to call and let them do the follow-up, and they can split a commission. So let her be like a weekend setter and set up the other person that's full-time or more full-time, because her just calling on weekends isn't going to cut it, because somebody's going to say, hey, I'm with family, call me tomorrow, and she can't do it.
Right.
Call me Monday, call me Tuesday, and she can't do it. So
right.
You've got
okay.
a problem.
Yeah, so, right, so that's my next thing is get another salesperson on.
Yeah.
And then
If you think you can keep her around, and if she still seems hungry, and if she's committed to weekends, she just needs to, when she gets a hold of somebody, she's just setting an appointment for your full-time person. Let them come in and clean it up, make the offer, and try and get the contract.
Okay, yeah. Or she could even set it up with me, because she is like, I'll let you
tell her. She absolutely
can.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
And then I see you've got a couple new things. The buy and hold deal calculator, is that basically just for, if they're just saying, make me an offer, and then you can just figure it out real quick from there?
It's for two. Yeah, I wanted to – that's the math that we're always talking about.
Right.
And so I built that. So the top one is where you don't know – there is no sale price on the table. They just say, make me an offer, and all you know are rents. You have a fix-up estimate, and – you put in your wholesale fee, and then it'll quick run some numbers. And so you're on the phone with somebody, and you say, if an all-cash offer were to come in, what would you take? Or that kind of thing. And you have no idea what's going on, or you have less information, right? They say, make me an offer. So you can say, hey, what do you think the place rents for? Even if you haven't confirmed it yet. Because then you can say, well, based on what you're telling me, a cash offer would come in at about this price point. Does that work for you? And then you can say, I need to confirm those rental numbers, but assuming what you're telling me is accurate, this would be about the price point. So then the second version down that I built is when the property's either listed or the buyer comes out, they say, yeah, I'm motivated. Give me 35 grand for it and I'll take it. And you're thinking to yourself, well, is that a good price or not?
Yeah.
And so then you can plug in, okay, I have a purchase price that's been brought up. So you can put that in. How much work do you think the place needs? Yada, yada, yada. Go through that. You plug that in. What do you think it rents for? Last time you had it rented, or do you have any idea what the rents for are in the neighborhood? boom, they're giving you numbers. You put in, I want to make $5,000 on this one, $6,000 on this one. And then you can play with it, but then it spits out those numbers. So you can be on the phone live time or your salespeople, right? Give it to them and train them how to use it. And then you've got some data sitting there right in front of you.
Where was that? Did I miss that? Where is that?
I emailed it to everybody on Twitter. It was attached.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
To download it? You have to download it?
Success Teams?
It's an attach. Yeah, just grab the attachment. Yep. And then.
Success Teams?
Yeah. Yeah, I sent it from that email, the coaching email.
Okay, I'll look for it. I had a lady who refused to give me a rental amount yesterday, man. Just make me an offer. Well, you know. I said, if I'm assuming a lease in the transaction, then I really need to know what it rents for.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's your anchor.
She's ridiculous. Anyway.
There are some of those. But, yeah, Mark, that's it. Learn how to use it quick and then get that into your people that are on the phone and walk them through it and say, here's how you're going to use this.
Right. No, that's very simple to have that opened up at the same time you're calling. But what I'd further do also is, you know, when I look at when I'm calling a seller, I do that before I call them. Then I've already got an idea of what it rents for.
You absolutely can do that too. Yeah, you can just go to Zillow, go to the rents, pull it up in the area, say a 2-1's going about this, plug it in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can use it beforehand, during. And here's what I've been telling people. You need to know the math behind it, because you're out at a real estate meeting or you're grabbing lunch or somebody calls you back and you're not at your computer, right? You still need to know how to run that. I mean, I can run all that math on my phone in 30 seconds with somebody on the phone, right? So you still need to know how to use it, but that's a handy tool. I hope it's handy. I thought it would be, which is why we threw it together. So.
Right. Okay. And then on the new one here with the vacant house.
Yep.
Can we, like, say, you know, so you pick a zip code. Can we pick, like, go through those and import them into FreedomSoft? And then
you can
have a bird dog go out.
What would you have the bird dog do? You can go straight to skip tracing if you want, or you want to verify it's vacant.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, get the picture on HomeSnap. You know, I mean, it's like they already know where they're going. They're not having to really search it. I'm just wondering. You know, I was thinking. I was saying, first, would this eliminate bird dogs or no?
Yeah, so on the front end of the call today, I was talking to Hal, and he was saying the same thing. You know, why bird dogs? And here's why. Your bird dogs will find deals that the post office doesn't know about yet.
Yeah.
So if you're just to compare the Postal Service data feed for vacants, which this is, right. If we can get the data, other people can get the data. Right. We just it's really cool. We tied it into FreedomSoft. There's value to it. But a notch better than that will be sending bird dogs into the field to put eyes on them, put eyes on the deal. So, the way that Rob is running things, he's still got bird dogs all day, every day. And you can use this in addition to, but he's not turning off the eyeballs from the field because nothing beats it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
if I did that,
weren't you saying that a lot of those, they were sold already and stuff like that? So if you had your bird dog out there, that would help it, verify
some of those,
it?
Some of those you'll find that when you pull it that they have recently sold.
Yeah.
So you have to sort through it a little bit. It's coming out of it gets updated monthly from the Postal Service. So some of those are going to be, either you go and call on it and it's under contract or it's sold. There's going to be some of that in there. Now, there are also some deals in there, no doubt. But, for this group, we're going to say use it in addition to. That's going to remain our stance because nothing beats eyes in the field. It's just the quickest way to get there. And your bird dogs will come across vacants that the Postal Service doesn't know about yet because mail's just starting to back up.
Right.
that kind of thing. So,
okay.
Yep.
All right. All right, so that's where I'm at. I'm going to have to get another salesperson on and really get going on this because this is
– absolutely.
I just feel like I'm dragging. I just feel like I'm dragging, and it's just like, hey, I got to really get going.
Well, Mark, here's the thing is it can turn in a really short amount of time. I mean, you get a good salesperson on and they start hitting leads, and you'll go from, holy cow, last week I felt like I'm dragging. This week my hair's on fire because I've got all the – you know, we've got 2 deals under contract and 3 more coming in. You know, the list can go on and on. So just keep your foot on the gas, trust it. It works. That is your step. You have to find somebody that can hit the phone. If this gal that you have stays on board in a part-time role, great, but she becomes secondary to somebody else that's committed to it and has the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe I can use her for other things too, you know, rather than
just
sales.
Did you give her a disc test? Did you give her a personality?
Yeah.
Test?
Yeah, she came in high D's and S's.
Okay. So she's got a good set of skills. She's just short on time. Here's the other thing.
Supportive.
Though,
right.
Supportive.
The S is a supportive role to like a bigger goal, a big picture, a visionary, something like that. And she's driven. So that's a valuable personality type. So here's the thing. Get her setting deals, and I don't know what she's making now, but you know, real estate, we're turning big chunks of money. You may be able to get her to transition a little more full time with a couple paydays, and she's got, you know, a good personality, and like you're saying, might have a great skill set. So if you think she's valuable, keep her on board, make a spot for her, in the event that she can grow into something else with the company on down the road. But I'm telling you, it doesn't take, you know, it won't take many transactions on a consistent basis to replace somebody's income like that if she's working hourly or, you know, making a lower commission in a sales role.
Yeah, she's working hourly.
Yeah, yeah,
she works for a pretty large health club insurance company. You know, I think they actually took over some other health club for $898 million recently.
That
so
all.
I don't know what that'll do for.
Well, so they're paying her just over minimum wage then, because they just had to acquire a company for just under $1 billion.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
If she's hourly, right, she's not making $300 an hour.
No.
Right. She's below 40. She's probably below 30. That's what I'm saying is, you know, get this thing moving a little bit. You may be able to replace what she's doing. Or she goes part-time there and puts more hours in with you. You just never know. So if she seems valuable and you think she can help the team, you know, find an arrangement.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a couple of real estate agents I know here. I don't know if I want to talk with them because, you know, I don't know, what do you think? It's like the way the real estate market is here in Denver, and it's like you would think that they're busy all the time, right? Or am I incorrect on that?
It's not that it can't work, but they're going to come with some preconceived notions about what's going on. My opinion, Rob goes out to hire phone salespeople. Give a phone salesperson a lead. They don't care really what industry it's in. They're high-ticket items. They can make a good commission split, teach them a script, teach them how to run some quick numbers, and grab a salesperson by trade.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, that's all I got.
Yep, good stuff. Yeah, Mark, all systems go towards a salesperson. I mean, this thing is
right.
You have great leads. You are one salesperson away in a couple days from being in the middle of it all. So,
yeah.
Right there.
Well, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be.
I know you feel like you're dragging, but it's not far.
Yeah. Yeah, like I told you, you know, it's like I need to get off my knees for a living. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is a heck of a lot easier on the body, just driving the bird dogs and salespeople and that kind of thing. No doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
Okay.
More lucrative, easier on the body, leveraged. Next time you go camping, you'll come back and have 4 new deals under contract.
Well, that'd be nice.
Would be and will be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
let's get going. Yeah. Hi.
Olivia here. How are you?
Hey, Olivia. Good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to give you an update and get everybody's opinion or whatever. I was been following Asif Raymond. Trying to get
following what?
This guy named Asif. He's the guy that has all the liens and taxes on his house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I did some more searching. I found he lives in Indiana. He works in Louisville, and I found his home number, which I haven't called yet, because just today I got the final payoff amount from the county records. He owes.
And what is it?
$26,900.
What did he tell you he owed?
He didn't know.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know. So I researched it and got the thing sent to me. Those are his liens, and his back taxes are $1,100. So let's say 27 and 1100, 29, almost 30,000 he owes.
Yep. Call it 30. Okay.
Yeah, 30. And then, okay, so I did trying to find the right ARV. It has swung from 70,000 to 126.
So is it a flip or is it a rental or is it either? Both and.
Either or.
Okay.
And so I did the numbers. So actually if I do the 70 right now and I do minus 10,000 or even minus 70 minus 20 times, that's 50 times 6, it's 30,000. So I'm going to – he wants me for sure to pay off everything. And so my idea, because I really don't know how much it is worth, I was going to call my 3 trust advisors that are older guys that are decent and have integrity, and I was going to say I have this pending contract on this 13303 Meadow Lawn Drive, and I was just wondering how much would it be worth to you?
Well, you can do that, or this is what we do as investors, figure out what things are worth based on the data. So you said the ARV range is 70 to 125?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm assuming 70 is probably in lived-in condition. 125 is fully renovated. Is
uh-huh.
that a safe assumption? Is that right?
Yeah.
What does it rent for?
So 900.
900?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. How do we run the math? I have my calculator open.
Okay, so we run the math. Let's see, we do the ARV. Minus
nope,
repair.
We're gonna go off rents. Let's run it as a rental.
Okay, so it's 70% of the 900. I know that much.
Yep. 900 times 0.7. Yep.
Okay.
630.
Uh-huh.
Net monthly rents.
So that'd be times 12.
630 times 12. I like where you're going. 7560. Net annual income, $7,560. What's a good cap rate? 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 24?
10 to 12, 10 to 14.
Okay, let's go 14.
Yeah.
So what do I do with the 7560?
Let's see.
And the 14%, remember?
7560, I can't remember it.
Divided by 14%, 0.14,
$54,000. Okay.
Now, that's an all-in number. So
okay.
What kind of condition are these places in? Do you know? Are they rent ready or do they need work?
Well, all I know is his needs work because it's boarded up.
How big is it?
It's 1,000 square feet.
It's 1,000 square feet, 15 to 20, 15 if it's decent, 20 if it's not because it's not very big.
Right.
So let's run worst case scenario, 54,000 minus 20,000, 34 grand. And he owes 30.
Uh-huh.
We have $4,000 in there at a 14 cap for you to get paid and for some closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little tight.
Yeah, it's tight, isn't it?
At a 14 cap. Well, a little bit. But here's the thing is, it may – I'm really curious because you're saying ARV is 70 to 125.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
I mean, here's the deal is if I can go 125,000, right, minus
right.
let's say we go all in 25 grand. That's 100 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Times 0.6, that's 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you can get it? I mean, maybe he'll, you know, you just say, hey, let me get you out of this thing. You owe just under $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, will you just take, you know, if I just cover your debt, will you take that? Who knows? But that's a good place to start.
Uh-huh.
There's a little more room at a 12 cap. There's more room yet at a 10 cap on your landlord buyers, right?
Yep. Right.
So this is how you got to start, you know, running the math on this thing right off the bat. So without looking at your comps.
Right.
How many have sold in that $115,000 to $125,000 range last 6 months? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So these are all questions.
Yep. This is what needs to go through your head. And the more you do it, this will happen in a really short amount of time. And right, you'll knock this out in a couple minutes, and you'll put together a game plan on what do you think this is.
Okay.
What's the best exit strategy for this house?
Okay.
So 125, it's pretty unusual that a deal would make more sense as a flip than it would as a rental at 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not to say it doesn't exist, but what would be more common is this to be a good little rental and not a great fix and flip. But you brought some interesting data to the table. If the ARV is 70, this isn't a flip at all.
No,
it's a rental.
No, uh-uh.
It's a rental.
Yeah.
If 125 grand is a legitimate number and there's resale buyer activity in the area, so now what you want to know is, what is sold in the area on the retail side, not the absentee owner side, right?
Okay.
And where would you find that data?
I think I would find that on Zillow.
Yeah, you could probably go there a little bit. You could go to an agent, or you can use ListSource. And the first selection in step one, when we go into ListSource, we're always pulling absentee owners.
Right.
But what if you pulled owner-occupied in that zip code in the last 6 months?
Awesome.
Just to get the number.
Yeah.
And you would say, hey, in the last 6 months, there are some transactions going down in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're right. You could go maybe to an agent and say, hey, I've got a little deal I'm tying up. I think it's going to be a good little flip. You know, I'm going to move it to somebody. You know, I'm trying to spin a little angle here on why they would pull that for you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, you know, if you were going to do the flip, you could say, hey, I need an agent in town. I'm going to need a listing on this thing. I'm still working on the contract, but I think it's coming. So that could be something down the road. You know, I don't know if you have a relationship with an agent there, but I would start at ListSource.
Okay.
And see what kind of activity there is in that zip code.
Okay.
Because you want to know, if there aren't retail non-absentee owner buyers in the area, you have to run it as a rental.
Okay. You know what?
The data's going to drive. What's that?
I was going off of all the buyers I have that want that zip code, which are most of them.
Here's the other thing. You said you have a couple that would shoot you straight. So without giving them an address, right, say, hey, I'm working a deal in this zip code. It's a little too, right? It's a whatever, 1,000 square feet.
Uh-huh.
What is that rent for? And, you know, what's the most you could pay for it all in? And then we'll back out closing costs. So you can absolutely go to your buyers for that.
Okay.
Yep.
There's lots of angles. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're going to work them all. You know, here's the deal. And we talk about this, you know, a lot on here. When you have repeat buyers and you've been at it for a little bit and you've sold, you know, 10, 20 deals and you've got your five buyers that, you know, just they know you bring good deals to the table. They have cash. you'll work less at selling these deals, but up front, you got to put in the legwork and just go all in on these things. And then as your reputation grows, it'll get easier and easier. But these are the questions that you have to answer up front. Because now, once you know the answer to these, you get those buyers on the phone and you can tell an accurate story.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And get it sold. So you're building the story. So what I want you to do, Olivia, is I want you to find out those questions that we asked and then send your findings into the coaching email because I want to look it over because we'll go step by step through this with you. That's what we're here for.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, let's piece this thing together. Okay. We still have the typically in these markets, it's going to be a rental and we're going to know it right up front. You have an interesting one here that could be a flip. Let's figure out if that's legit or not.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Sounds good, thanks. I'll send that in to you when I get it all figured out. Yeah.
When you go into ListSource, pull the owner occupied and the absentee owner for this zip code and see. Is there investor activity and retail activity? If so, right? Pretty solid data that it's a fix and flip little zip code.
Okay.
If it's all absentee and very little to no retail, it's a buy and hold zip code.
Okay. But would you say that again?
Yeah. If there's owner-occupied and absentee owner activity in the last – I would probably start with 12 months and then see what the last 6 months look like.
Okay.
Then pretty good indication it's a little fix and flip because what's happening is investors are buying there and retail homeowners are buying there. And that's a pretty good clue that there's some fix and flip activity going on.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
The other thing is when you pull these comps, you're looking for keywords, fully renovated, remodeled, everything new, right? You're trying to get an idea of the condition. Let me paint a picture of condition. If you look at all comps in an area, the three condition levels are, well, there are really four, completely destroyed. You'll find that.
Mm-hmm.
No, three. You'll find lived in. Or I'm sorry, livable but not updated, right? The homeowner that lived there for 35 years hasn't done much to the house, so you walk inside and it still looks like 1975, right?
Right.
And then in neighborhoods where there's fix and flip activity, you'll see the fully renovated level. So there will be your distressed, your livable but not updated, and your renovated. Now, your buy and hold neighborhoods don't have your fully renovated level. You won't see that in any of the comps. You won't pull comps that say fully remodeled, best house in the neighborhood, brand new this, brand new that, right? So when you look at comps and you're trying to get an idea on a zip code, you want to see all comps because what you're looking for are, okay, do we have distressed? And if so, what are they selling for? Do we have lived in? And if so, what are they selling for? And you can figure this out really quick by just reading the comments from the listing agent.
Okay. And
out of the MLS comps.
Okay. Now, where am I getting the comps? I guess I could just put – they didn't have any on FreedomSoft, so that's why I was doing all these websites.
Websites, or this is where having an agent in there could come in handy. We don't tend to rely on agents too much, right? We'll go to ListSource to figure it all out, but you could ask your buyers, your experienced buyers in the area. You can call up and say, "Hey, is there fix and flip zip activity in 80241?" And they'll if they've been buying for a while in the neighborhood, they'll just tell you. So you can also go to your buyers that you said have been around for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can also go to like a Zillow, right? You said FreedomSoft didn't pull any, which is fine.
Yeah.
So go to some of the online sources and look for what's currently for sale there and read the comments on it. Redfin has it. Zillow has it. If all the comments in there say distressed, not updated, whatever, there isn't a flip going on. If you have some in there that say fully renovated, brand new, must see, all that, verbiage that leads you to believe that it was flipped. You've got flip activity in there. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I get you. I got the difference. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, here's the other thing all of you should do. When you have a deal like it, when you have a flip on the table and you're doing research like Olivia's doing and you come across a listing that says fully renovated, bam, call up the listing agent and say, hey, I'm an investor in the area. I see you have this property posted. Clearly, this is a fix and flip. I can tell by the comments. Is your client, the owner, looking for another deal? I have one three blocks away in the same zip code.
That's
so
awesome.
What you know about a listed property that's been renovated is that person is selling. They probably, right, whether it's their money or private lender money, they want to keep it rolling, move it forward. They have one listed. They're thinking, I've got to start replacing this one. I need another project. Not always, but a lot of the time. So anyway.
Okay. That's a great angle. Okay. Good stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah. Tell me what you find out. And then, really get dialed in on this process because this is what you want to go through at a very quick rate. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little more due diligence. And you've got a, you know, pretty motivated seller, that kind of thing. This would typically take place after contract. We would dig in a little deeper and then figure out, you know, hey, am I under contract at the right price or do I need to try and renegotiate that? You've got a motivated seller here. He has a $30,000 tax problem that's not just going to go away. That you can come solve. So let's use this one to really dial in and learn this process so that you can go through this. You can go through this very quickly moving forward.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Cool.
Thank you. I'll watch
for that email. Do you have time to find out most or all of that by tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I have time. I was
okay.
just waiting to
Perfect.
Get that total amount in that came today, that $26,000. That's
yep.
so important
and get
for
a,
me to know that.
Get a hold of this guy. Get a hold of this guy and say, holy smokes, I got the payoff. You owe just under $30,000 on this thing. You know, let me help you get rid of this problem. Will you take what you owe for it? It's 29 and change. I want to help you out. And you can paint the picture. This is sales, right? Be honest with you, that's a little more than I was thinking I wanted to pay. You know, as I told you, I've got a group of buyers. I think they'll be interested in this. I think it's going to be a little tight. Will you take what you owe? Let's get this
That's
paperwork
right.
under contract so I can go to work on your behalf, right?
Yep.
I mean,
well,
this is
I'll
a 30
one,
yeah.
Yeah. One more piece of it. It's pending foreclosure.
Right. So let's keep that off as credit. Let's solve this $30,000 problem that's not going to go away.
Yep.
Hurry
and,
up.
that's the thing is, if that's the case too, you want to get this bad boy moved ASAP.
Yeah.
So
Yep. Okay. That's what the law office told me. But she said you could still put it under contract, even though, because there's no sale date.
Cool. All right. So you've got a compressed window here. So it's go time. I'll be looking for that email from you tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Olivia. Yep.
Hey, Mike, I need to buy someone with Lean.
Yeah. Okay.
This dude got a house. This is an old deal from almost a year ago. The guy owes Microsoft over $650,000. So what do I do?
Oh, it's Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, he owns a computer repair shop, and I don't know what he did, but who knows? I mean, he probably.
So what do you mean? You know, what advice you're looking for? He owes $650,000.
Yeah, he's willing to. He wants to try to get somebody to help him negotiate the lien down, the amount down, and I can't find anybody. And it's a done deal. I mean, I've tried to help him 100 ways, try to find somebody, but I mean, I actually had this house under contract. I had it sold for like a $9,000 profit on the assignment.
Holy smoke, a $650,000 lien.
Yeah.
What is the house worth?
90 to 110. Something like
that's pretty upside down.
Yeah, it rents for about $1,000.
I mean, if you want to track down loss, I didn't know Microsoft had loss mitigation like a bank.
Well, that's for real, because it showed up on title. But he told me, this guy told me that Microsoft used to give him down the road because they wanted him to pressure customers that brought their computers in for repair into upgrading to, you know, this and that and all that stuff. And he said they got pissed off.
It's
got to
be licensing fraud. That's the only thing I could think that it possibly could be.
Man, I don't know.
I was just thinking through that, Mike. How does Microsoft get a property lien?
I can't imagine how they would do that. I don't know. Yeah, unless part of just the going to court and suing them. I'm not
right.
sure.
And then they just tied it to the only asset he had or whatever.
Yep.
This
is actually a year old.
Bus.
Exactly this time last year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got the title binder and everything here. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's not an ideal title report to get back.
Well, see, he owes Jefferson County $400,000 and Microsoft $640,000 and City of Birmingham $6,400. So, yeah, he's $650,000.
Sounds like a lot of work to me, Captain. Hey, some of those things can pay off, but.
Hey, but if I could find an attorney that will help deal with Microsoft and help them negotiate it down into payments. But he still wouldn't be able to sell it, would he?
No. They'd have to release the lien.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wants, the payments, because then he can just default on the payments, file Chapter 7 or whatever, and watch that thing disappear.
Man, I run into all kinds of crazy dudes.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's the first you ever heard of that one, huh? Something like that.
Yeah, I thought you misspoke when you said a Microsoft lien.
No, man, I was reading off the title binder just now. So
not funny for him, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess
well,
when you're as rich as Bill Gates, you can lien whatever you want. Just make a phone call.
Man, it's just him making payments. It'll still be years before he.
Oh yeah, exactly. He'll likely never recover that. It's just basically locking up that property.
Well, he's renting it out, or had been renting it out, but it's got a foundation issue at the back of the house where it's getting molded and needs to be dug out and sealed off. You know,
so
but
you, basically
still,
need,
you, know,
you basically need the $650 to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Maybe it's something technical. Who knows? I mean, if I could find an attorney just to contact him. But he told me he would sell it to me. So. But I know he's not going anywhere.
Nope. Yeah, it sounds to me like they're easier fish to catch, but you know that's one of those things. If everything is just clicking, and you're leveraged, and you've got sales team working, and leads are coming in, and you want to make a few phone calls on it, I'd put an hour or two into it. I'd say all for it, John. With where things are and trying to launch New Orleans, and put that thing way on the back burner.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, because the things I need to do are going on the back burner. They don't need to.
Yeah,
on the back
this
burner
is
right now. So.
If something comes together on this, you're not getting paid on it for a while. So let's go.
I've got another one. An old dude I've got it sold too for a $4,000 fee, and the old guy he's got Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And he just had a defibrillator put in. Right before we closed his last house, and I called him a couple weeks ago. I just hadn't got my basement cleaned up, man. I got stuff I need to get out first. Well, man,
can you
we're
help him clean it out?
Contract. Huh?
Can you get some help over there, some day labor, some hour labor to help get that done?
That might be a thought. I think I need to call him tomorrow. Because this has been... He told me it's sold. He said it's not going to go to anybody else, and I trust him because he kind of did the same thing with his other house. But But man, I need something to close. I'm getting itchy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We start getting creative here and say, hey, man, what kind of help do you need? Let me get somebody over there for 8 hours. Let's get this thing under contract, and I'll help you get it. You know, you want it gone. I want to help take care of it for you. Let's get creative.
Well, it's
here.
His personal stuff
somebody.
That he wants to keep. The stuff he wants to keep. So.
Right, but if he's old and just went through surgery, then he's probably not finding the time or energy. So you know, pay somebody $12 an hour to go just help him move, put that stuff somewhere where it's secure.
Yeah, it sounds like a phone call's on my schedule tomorrow.
Yeah, see if he's up to it.
All right. Okay, man.
I'll text Bill and see if he wants to drop that lien when we hang up here.
Yeah.
He owes me a favor, John. I'll call in one for you.
Who is this? Oh, Bill.
Bill Gates. Yeah.
Bill Gates, yeah.
Yeah, my Windows 10 crashed, and he owes me one. He said he'd make it right.
Man, Windows 10 doesn't crash, Mike.
It sucks. Windows 10 sucks.
I forgot.
I finally got rid of it when I took my laptop in for repair, and they put 7 back on it. Thank God.
Oh, for real? Can you do me a favor and put Windows 7 back on this?
It sucked, man.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
No, Windows 8 sucked. Windows 10 is awesome.
I'm knocking on wood over here, but 10 so far has treated me okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I was having all kinds of issues with it, man. You know, it was stuck down my throat, you know.
Yeah, I put 7 back in mine.
Mike, are you a Mac guy or a PC guy?
Well, I mean, I work with Microsoft
work
SQL Server.
Both. What's that?
I mean, I'm a database administrator, so I work with Microsoft SQL Server, but I have both. I mean, I've had iMacs. I'm using a PC now, but whatever. I got both.
Gotcha. What's your preference?
Well, I had an iMac for 3 different iMacs for the last probably 6 years, but I just recently switched back to PC because I really like Windows 10 better than Mac OS.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like asking people about that. I've never had a Mac, so I don't know. All the Mac people say I don't know what I'm missing.
It's fine. There's nothing great about it.
It's a computer. I mean, I do so little on them anyway.
I don't care.
I'm more interested in which golf club can hit the ball farthest for me.
There you go.
All right, who else? Who else? And I dig where these conversations go every twice a week. Good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I sent you a quick email about that Sheets. I didn't see them.
Did you find it?
No, I can't find them, but I sent you a quick email so you'd see it.
Yeah, I'll just reply to it and attach it.
All right, man.
You must be on a Mac and it got lost. That's my only assumption.
It's in Windows 10 world somewhere.
Windows 10 ate it. That's great. Windows 10.
Yeah, man, they force-fed it out on me, man. They snuck it in on me in the middle of the night when I wasn't looking.
That's great.
Crafty now I've heard it all.
Rewind me back to Windows 1. It's the only one I liked.
Are you recording this, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. You know, we don't edit this stuff out. We're free to be us on this call because that's the best way to be. So I get to throw in my sarcasm. I get to talk about golf here and then. We talk about Tom's climbing. And, you know, we're just people doing life in real estate all together. It's fun.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. My goal is to win contract next week in New Orleans.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And then from there, John, you just ramp it up. I mean, you got to have a working 5 to 10. I mean, the first stop is 5 contracts in both places. And if your one sales gal can't get it done, then you've got to bring in somebody else for the new market. But it's just.
Yeah. I think she has people that she knows that can help us ramp it up.
Yeah. You've been saying that it's time to talk to a few and give them a personality test.
She's pretty aggressive. I like the way she works. So.
Yep.
But I gotta start getting some contracts closed to be able to pay them. So that's all there is to it.
That's it. But that's where you want to be. So she's aggressive, and that's great. So she's been on the phone for a while. So we need five under contract.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
You have to have a rolling I mean, right, the first stop is a rolling 5, and then it goes to 10, and then it goes to 20, and it's not – it's that's the thing is it's not that far off, right? So.
Yeah.
Get people on those phones. I'm telling you, same thing, and it happens with everybody that we work with. But Rob and Brad, they brought in Chris. They say, hey, we think this is our guy. Let's train him for a couple weeks. And he tied up like 20 – what? He came out for training, and by the time he left, he had just under $30,000 in wholesale fees tied up. And it's been there ever since, you know? So that's it. You just get that buzz of, you know, that hum of we're just always working this number of deals. I mean, it's such a great way to pull buyers out of a woodwork too, because if, you know, you come to the table with all sorts of credibility, not that you don't have any now, you know, all of you, but you just, hey, man, we have 10
deals. Yeah, but one or two every two or three months, you know, somebody's got four or five a month, and they're going to come to you first. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Starts to build. Things just start to scale and ramp up. So, yep, keep your feet on the gas. Good conversation as always. A couple jokes, a little sarcasm. That's a good office hours call. That's how it should be.
All right, man.
All right, everybody. Have a great afternoon/evening, depending on where you're at. Questions? Into the coaching center. You've got steps if you chimed in. If you need specifics, you know, let us know where you're at. Let's not wait till Monday. Get me an email into the coaching center tomorrow so we can be very, you know, we don't want any fog when it comes to direction. So,
okay, well, I've got a direction question real quick since you mentioned
that.
Yeah,
fire. Yeah.
Well, I haven't really given you a weekly update in 2 or 3 weeks. Do you want me just to do New Orleans right now?
No, all business update on Fridays.
All business
coming up
update
tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, we'll
where's your lead number at? How many are under contract? How many buyers did you add this week? On down the list.
And John, there's a lot of zeros that don't need to be there. So.
Hey, that's okay. That happens. That's called reality, right? You can't, you know, it's not going to be working on everything simultaneously, but when you do those updates, we can log in there and see patterns and then say, hey, here's, you know, let's do this next. But,
well, I can see it when I enter zero into a column on my spreadsheet.
I'm telling you, it's as valuable or more for you all to fill out that weekly update because, right, you plug in 4 zeros and you think, crap, I gotta start putting numbers in these boxes, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, it's really valuable. I mean, just sometimes it's a bit of a tough reality check or a slap in the face, but, you know, we're not going to get anywhere if we just pretend that things are working. So let's just call it what it is, face the music. That way we can get through it quicker and, you know, get on down the road. So, yeah, that's
cool.
We put it in, like I said, you know, and we talked about this when it's there, but it's as much, if not more, for your benefit than it is for ours to help coach. But when you get in the habit of just facing the music and staring reality in the face, and then you start, right, you start thinking, oof, let's make this happen. And then you start to build numbers in there, and it doesn't take very long, and all of a sudden momentum's in place. So it's closer than it feels. That's our theme. It's closer than it feels.
Right,
trust
man.
It. Keep your foot on the gas. Keep moving forward. Specific steps. If anybody needs any, reach out. Shoot me a quick email tomorrow. I'll reply by email. Rob will. We'll jump on the phone quick, whatever it takes. All right?
All right, man. Thanks, Mike.
All right, everyone. Yeah. Good talking to everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Good night.
Take care. Yep. Take care.
Thanks, Mike.